There's so many wonderful things that ground us in this walk. The one thing that's almost as certain as the rock of Jesus and the promises I stand on are to be welcomed back here by my beloved pastor, senior pastor, who told me, do not go over time. So that's a beautiful thing. It's so wonderful to know that certain things just remain constant in my life. Praise God. Yeah, that's right, man. It's all good. It's all good. Bow your head. Let's close and open with prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. I thank you, Lord, that your anointing is here right now, Lord. It's not my words, but it's your words that are spoken, Lord. And I have done my part to labor, Lord, to enter into the rest and labor to study for these things. But, Lord, you're the one that anoints the words that will go forth to write upon our hearts those things that you alone can change in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You take a look at that title, man, Patience, Discerning, Power, and Fruit. You might think I was drinking about 10 pots of coffee that morning and couldn't figure out what the title was going to be. But if you bear with me, you'll see what's going on here. Acts chapter 16, verse 16 through 24. Paul, just to give a little sneak preview and a reminder of what's happening here, back in Acts chapter 14, verse 19 and following particularly, Paul and the brothers were in Lystra. And remember in there that he was preaching away in there, and basically he was rewarded by, and in fact, Lystra as well as Philippi, where they're at now, they were not predominantly Jewish, okay? They were prominent. They were part of the Roman Empire. They've been taken over by the Romans for quite some time, hundreds of years. And the thing is, if anything, they were a mixture of paganism and a mixture of what they call the imperial cult, worshiping Caesar, who was the god. And you either said yes to that or you were a foot shorter in a heartbeat, okay? So, but the thing is that in Lystra, even though that was the case, the Jewish contingent was able to circle in on this thing after he healed that man and swarm down on this thing because, remember, in Lystra in chapter 14, they were saying, these are gods that have come down to us. And, of course, Paul said, no, tee that one up. No, 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 that's not it. So what they did back in Acts chapter 14 was what? They bum-beefed him. They gave him a bad rap on that thing and summarily turned out to stone him to death. Now, some people say, well, it doesn't say he died. Please do a study sometime on stoning in that age. Seriously? We're talking about great big boulders throwing things at a close range, beat to a pulp, bleeding all over the place. You know, and the thing is that my heart goes out to our brothers and sisters that have seen, and I came out of that NOM generation, even though they wouldn't take me to the service because I broke my back. I saw a lot of folded flags with brothers that I love very much. And PTSD and thing, one of the wonderful hopes that we can hold out is that for our brothers or sisters that have PTSD, guess what? Paul and those brothers had to have buku PTSD that they were healed from. You got to figure that Nero basically would catch Christians, soak them in oil, put them up on a post, light them on fire to light his garden on fire. I would consider that a family that was watching that might have a slight bit of PTSD that you'd have to lean into God and say, please touch me. And yet what? Paul didn't quit. Stoned to death. Back in Lystra, Acts 14, man just beat to a pulp, man. They circled around and prayed. It doesn't even say they prayed. They just stood around, they said. But I mean, you know, they're sitting there like getting in touch with this thing. Said Paul rose up and says what? He learned, don't go back into Lystra ever again. Wrong. He went right back into Lystra. Are you? That's not only getting over PTSD. You begin to wonder, did you get hit in the heart? You got hit in the head really hard with that big one, I think, man. Don't go back in there. He went back in there, and here we are now, two chapters later, in Acts chapter 16. So, you know, you think about it, man. You think you have bad days. I think I've had bad days. Really. Take a look at how the church formed. Right. Take a look at how this whole foundation that we stand upon today has been built down through the ages. Yeah. You got to figure in 1517, Martin Luther went ahead. Yeah, forgive me, I taught history in ministry training schools and stuff, church history. And the thing is, Martin Luther in 1517 nailed those 95 theses to the front of Wittenberg Castle Church and basically took on the only powerhouse church at that time, the Roman Catholic Church, and nailed 95 theses to that thing that basically, in a nutshell, said, your papal power is not right. You do not have absolute power. That would get you a foot shorter in a heartbeat. He was a monk. He had sworn allegiance to the Roman Catholic Church. That and also indulgences. Pope Leo at that time had brought up indulgence, where a thing where you can throw money in the pot and pray for those that are in purgatory to bail them out to finally get them into heaven. Can you say con job, con job? How do you say con job? And the thing is, man, is that he wasn't going for it. And that took a lot of guts. Because basically the Pope said, I got news for you. There's a death penalty out on you. Man, there were some people down through the history of the church, from Paul, Jesus, obviously, Paul all the way through, that they could have. These people were back there in the days where, you had some muscle just to live, to be able. Paul was a tent maker, man. He didn't sit around and crochet. He built tents and everything else, did tents and everything else. You had farmers. You had those that herded sheep. You had fishermen. These were people that had some muscles on their bones. And they could have exercised the option, what? Five up alongside the head. And they didn't do it. They didn't do it. Now, that's not, I was raised back in the dark ages where John Wayne was supposed to be every man's hero, you know. You were never allowed to cry. Somebody stomp your head, you get up, spit in their face, and tell them, okay, you better keep looking over your shoulder because I'm coming for you. Literally, I did that in high school. I was stupid. A very high intelligence, very stupid mouth. My mouth really never passed the IQ test when I was younger at all. In here, so we're going into this period in Philippi, all right, which is part of the Roman Empire, and we've got Paul and Silas, all right, that are about ready to get into this thing after the whooping that they took there in Lystra. And Philippi is mostly Roman, mostly pagan, mostly worshiping the Caesar and everything, with some influence of the Judaics that were in there, but very little, because they didn't even have a tabernacle. They didn't have any kind of a temple or anything else there. And yet here, when you take a look in Acts chapter 16, verse 16 through 24, which is our main text, bear with me. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. So this is a business.
Right.
Yeah. This is serious business going on, man. In here it says, verse 17, this girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, can you imagine, cried out, yelling, okay. These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed us the way of salvation. Now, is that scripturally wrong?
No.
Not scripturally wrong?
No.
It's scripturally right.
No.
But watch what she did. She kept going. It said in a loud voice, boom, put her on blast, okay? Verse 18. And this she did for many days.
Yeah.
You'd need to be praying if there was any latent OCD in you. To please, Lord, put that under my feet. That would take a whole lot of stuff to be able to just get by. The words were right, but the volume was like a woodpecker pecking at your head, I'm sure, when this was going on.
Yeah.
I am not going to try to lend to the word what it doesn't clearly say. Why would Paul have waited that long? Because we're about ready to see what's going to happen. That speculation we'll know when we get to the other side. Because he could have done it at any given time. I mean, it could have been as simple. I'm not kidding. I thought maybe it was just great advertising because you could go anywhere you want. And this woman was just screaming it out, man. Wow, they're coming, man. I got a cuckoo bird right behind me. Then putting it on blast with the right thing. Let's rock the house for a while with that. And then we'll put on, bam, the floor show. Watch this. Here we go. And then it says, and this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit. Notice, to the Spirit. Everybody say to the Spirit.
Spirit.
Not to her. It's a very big point here, because in our own being, little s, human spirit, we can get annoyed, which it says Paul did, and not be thinking about the Spirit, but thinking about, honey, you need to shut that pie hole right now. But he didn't do that. Look what Paul did. And it says, he turned, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit. So was Paul annoyed with her or annoyed with the Spirit? He attacked the Spirit, didn't he? That's what he went after, okay? So he turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. I always notice that very hour. I wonder what Me, I'm an analytical recovering. You know, was it 5 minutes it took to come out, or 10 or 20 or whatever? I don't know, but it came out within the hour, definitely, okay? And look at what happened here. It came out that very hour. But when her master saw that their hope, because they're probably standing around thinking, man, we make it. This is advertising for us. Because they're going to be right there. I'll be able to pull the trigger. We'll line them up 8 blocks long. I just collect all kinds of stuff and tell them all kinds of lies about what's coming up, okay? But look at this. When her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." That's what's called being bum-beefed. That's a made-up thing. Just like back in Lystra, as far as when they charged Paul back there and everything else, they weren't charging him because they were violating all these things. And yet it was the Jewish contingent that was going after Paul. Why? Because in that case, Paul was rocking their religious little palace. And they were going to be territorial and protect that turf for all it was worth. Don't mess with our turf. And now, 2 chapters later, here we are in Philippi. And now what you've got is not the Jewish people that are doing that so much. However, they're invoking the name of the Jews, aren't they? They're just bum-beefing him. They're just looking for any old thing that can get him out there, get him in trouble, get them in trouble with the people, the common people, okay? And please take this right. The deal is that in Christianity, I'm so glad we live in this country. It's far from perfect, believe me, okay? We are not a democracy, even though we say that. We're a republic. It's not one man, one vote. We vote for those representatives to do that. And the founding fathers did it that way on purpose. Because basically, even in the Word of God, when it talks about broad is the way, many there be that find it, narrow is the way, few there be that even find it, much less go through it. The reality is, in a general consensus, when people vote, it's typically not going to be real godly unless God moves upon the scene. Because we are predominantly meatheads. We are predominantly unrenewed spirits. That's just the way it is. I'm not talking bad about the U.S. I'm talking about drop in anywhere in the planet, anywhere it is, man. Until you get saved, you are desperately wicked at best. And your best thought you think is generated, oh, I'm thinking about everybody else. That's a crock, man. You're thinking about the guy in the mirror, you. That's what you're thinking about, okay? And you learn all these fancy words to be able to fluff it up and everything else. But without Jesus Christ, you're left to think about you. Mine, I mean mine, you get yours later on. So here we are, man. They're eating this thing where they're just ready to go after it. And they bum-beef them. They say, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Verse 22. Then the multitude rose up together against them. Here we go again, boy. They know how to get this thing going. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. Okay? Now, they didn't strip down naked. They weren't skinny dipping around there. Okay? We're talking about that would be a sign of being intense. Grieved or mad or anything to tear your robe, okay, to be able to do that, all right? And it tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. Now, Paul got stoned to death and raised up. Now he's being beaten with rods. You know, Singapore, and I don't know if it still is, but up until only about 30 years ago, you could still be beaten with rods over there. I'm not kidding. They say Singapore was a place that you could spit, had the cleanest streets in the world because you could spit on there or throw gum there, and they could, right there on the spot, hold court and beat you with rods. Whoa, that would tighten up the old whatever you want to say. It would tighten up big boy, man, immediate consequences like that. And that's what they were doing right here. They're going to beat him with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, I mean, bloodied, scarred. You wouldn't have to tell much of a testimony if you're Paul. You just look at Paul.
Yeah.
And you see all those scars and all those things in your mouth, and you realize you should be dead, dude.
Yeah.
And you're preaching. And you're fired up. You're happy. Man, that alone, I don't need to hear a whole lot else. I think I need to hear what you got. Because this world doesn't get that smile on my face with 1/10 of the garbage you just went through. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, I'm not going to bump ahead because I think Pastor Jay has the next one in the Philippian prison there and all the things that go on. I'm so tempted to want to, but I won't do that, okay? But let's just put it this way, that it is amazing what Paul and Silas do in the midst of some of the most intense situations. Bleeding, lost blood, welts, cuts. You know, when Jesus was whipped and everything, the thing is that the Romans would take bits of metal and they put it in the end of the leather and put it across there, or bones, so that when they lashed, those would dig into the skin and the person that was whipping would rip the skin off when you pulled it back. Is that graphic enough? So, I mean, we sit here and say, well, you know, I remember when I was five, we were playing around, and I whipped Johnny, and he whipped me, and it hurt, but it wasn't that bad. No, 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 no. That's not what we're talking about here. They beat the whoopee out of them, and then they threw them, not in the prison, they threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. When you study this in Philippi, actually what they would have in most of those prisons, you would have layers of prison. You'd have one floor almost, and then you'd step down some, and then you'd have more concentric circles, smaller, step down some. The inner prison was typically, in those situations, the smaller inner that was the lowest part, and without getting too graphic, they didn't have bathrooms and porta potties, okay? So any of the prisoners in any of the upper ones, the next one, whatever, and you'd be down in the nasty, okay? And you're in stocks down there. There isn't enough room deodorant to take care of the kind of business you'd be waiting in. Forget about the odor, waiting in. Which should set up Pastor Jay to really express the remarkable what they do. They don't sit in there griping. They don't sit in there saying, man, I thought we had a God that would come through.
Come on.
I thought we'd have a God that would come through. Man, what is it? They aren't in there. They don't say it one time, do they? You won't find it. Yeah. They don't do any of that.
No.
See, they have a faith that looks higher than the circumstances that are going on.
Yeah.
And it's about time the church begins to look higher than the circumstances that are going on.
Yeah.
All this petty little stuff, this bickering and everything else. What was it? Rodney King back there said, can't we all just get along, when Westwood was burning down there with all that stuff back there? You know, and Rodney King wasn't even a Christian with the thing, but we as Christians, can't we all just get along for a change? Put down all the little tweaky stuff, the little, I don't like the way, you know, just be able to get this thing together. We better get it together, because I'm telling you, there's coming before too long something that's going to make this look pretty much identical to what we're going through.
Say that.
Now, you know, that's not a thing to frighten you so much as it should tighten up things and say, I'm going to focus this thing. I had a brother come to me just before the service started and said, Pastor, if you're led to do it, could you go ahead and have an altar call for rededication if you're led, okay? And I'll probably go ahead and do that, depending on how the Spirit goes, because this is a thing where you'd better tighten up the focus completely.
Yeah.
Tighten up the focus completely. Because if you haven't figured out now, our politics, what do we got? We got, what was it, tonight and tomorrow night? We got 26 different on one side of the aisle that are all competing to be running for the next president for Democrat. Like, pardon me, do they give them mental medication before they do this or what? Or do they distribute it to us that would have to listen to that? I would never listen to that, ever. I never would listen to that, man. I'd be thinking I'm back in the hippy-dippy days watching the lava light and thinking, far out. I don't know what he said, but it really sounded groovy when he said it. Stupid stuff, man. Get down where you're going to deal with the reality, and only you can do that if you have the eyes that you can see through Jesus Christ and this word. If you look in here now, I want to remind us, because we're dealing with a girl that has spirit of divination and fortune telling, and I'm not going to go to the scripture, but I'll make reference to 1 Corinthians 14:3. In 1 Corinthians 14:3, and again, Paul wrote that letter, that epistle to Corinth, okay? And in there, Paul says that all prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. All prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. increasingly so, and believe me, I'm charismatic. You call me Pentecostal, you call me nuttier than a fruitcake, whatever you want, man. But I do believe in decently in order, and I think people go way off the chain on some of this stuff and have been around a lot of that stuff. You stick to the Word of God. The last chapter in Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19, man, when I became a pastor, I had that driven deep in my heart. If you add anything to the Word of God at any time, be prepared for all the curses in the Bible to be added to you. And it says in verse 19, and if you take away or don't even say all of what's in the Word of God, be prepared for your name to be blotted out of the book of life. Now, if you don't think that's real, man, don't get in the kitchen. It gets hot at times. You can talk to Pastor Matt, Pastor Crystal, the rest of the pastors. Definitely my wife and I, down through the things we've had. It gets hot, man. You better hang on tight to the horns of the altar and keep your eyes on Jesus.
Yep.
In here, you've got this edification, exhortation, and comfort. And unfortunately, the church has, over the years and decades, partly through these little faddish things, they've turned it almost into soothsaying and fortune telling. You know, when people come to him and say, have you got a word for me? Yeah, I do. Read the Bible.
Say that.
Read the Bible. Mike, they go, oh, no, I mean like a word. Yeah, the Bible. See, the thing is, if you don't know it already, any word that is given to you as far as prophetic or word of knowledge or word of wisdom or anything has to be checked against what? The Bible. Not just one cherry picket, two or three out of the mouth or two or three witnesses, and then pray about that thing, because then you're left with Ecclesiastes 3:1, which says, to everything there's a season or time for every purpose under heaven. It may be a good thing, it might not be the God thing. It may be the God thing, it might not be the right time. Don't get a hammer cocked on that gun and ready to go quick draw on this thing just because, whoa, that's exciting. Yeah, right. Whatever. Oh, that's exciting. It isn't about what's exciting. It's about serving God and walking after him and the way that he leads. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
In here then, edification, exhortation, and comfort. We need to check anywhere that we're talking about around anybody when people come and say, do you have anything for me? And I don't say that jokingly. Give them some scriptures and say, get in the Word of God. This is your foundation. To do anything other than that, you're going to build your tower, and it says on sand versus on rock. But what I look at is the Columbia Tower, 70 stories up. And you know they worked on that foundation down there for about 2 years before they pulled the plywood down and began to build the first floor. And I'll bet you everybody that's on the 60th and 70th floor is very thankful for that. It's not very sexy. It's nothing that can be seen when you go around there and peek over the plywood or anything else those years way back there. But I'll tell you what, when that wind's blowing, they build it so that top will wave back and forth about 10 feet. Well, the stuff you can't see means you're going to be standing.
Yeah.
And if you invert that process and get too caught up, well, I'm excited about, well, what I hear about the 10th floor and the 20th floor. Good luck. Don't build the bottom and you won't be looking up there long. You're coming down. Your tower will come down. It will fall. And you wonder, well, how come God did this? God didn't do this. We need to roll up our sleeves and realize we have work to do in the trenches that isn't what we call very sexy, that isn't very whoopee skip. It isn't like the top of the roller coaster, okay, with a free ride. But if you don't do it, man, I'm telling you, you got some nasty stuff up ahead. Can you turn to somebody and say, I think I know what he's talking about right now. I think I know what he's talking about right now. Yeah. In here, if we go into that first part, patience and discerning, the title is patience, discerning, power, and fruit, okay? Patience and discerning. I'll read it again, Acts 16, verse 16 through 18, the first part. It says, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these are the men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the very way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. I want to make a couple points under here, please. Only a couple, because these topics, I could do like a 20-part series on the four headings that I have here and still have more to go. And these pastors in here know what I'm talking about. But in here, if you take a look at this, one point I want to make is speaking the right thing doesn't necessarily mean that it is guaranteed to be anchored to the truth.
Come on.
Speaking the right thing, little sound bites. Boom. And that's one of the dangers when you get into the confess it till you possess it crowd.
Yeah.
Okay, the word faith, and I love my brothers and sisters, please don't get me wrong, but went through those phases back in there where basically, you know, you just speak that, you never speak anything else, and you'll bring it to pass.
Yeah.
Now, pardon me, I wasn't in the LDS line that day, all right? Because if you know anything about theology, man, whoop, 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 you know what I'm talking about there, book. You get in that thing, man, you're, yes, I'm a budding God. And I can, no, you're a budding knucklehead. In fact, I think you're a graduate. Okay, you got your graduate degree. In here, you take a look. So speaking the right thing, just nominally the right thing, isn't the only key. The girl was loudly speaking the right thing for many days. And the second part of that, Paul's patience for many days. And I got to tell you, when I first got born again and filled with the Holy Ghost back there, way back there, I would have annoyed the snot out of myself because I would go over to people's house and I wouldn't even realize I'd be talking to them and I'd walk over and straighten their pictures.
Yeah.
I had a thing, you know. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, I thought so, okay. And it took me a while to realize, dang, you know, this. I just convicted myself. I thought, what, you idiot, man? Like, well, who are you? You're the ramrod of the entire universe as to how they had. Thank God I didn't move their pictures and redesign their front room, but it was bad enough to balance them out. And then I'd stand back and I'd keep talking because I could multitask. Yeah, that's it. I'd be talking about it. They were very patient, man, when I was first born again. But when I began to realize is that I have those issues that I need to deal with, things would distract me really easily because I'd taught in public schools fresh out of college back there before I was born again in the high school level, and things would distract me easily, so I ruled pretty much with an iron hand in those classes in high school. But I realized I needed to break free of that. Why? Because some of the greatest people in the Bible, obviously you have Paul here with this woman, this young girl screaming out behind her the right thing, but those volume and volume and volume, wouldn't that distract the average bear in the woods? It certainly would. The other part too, when you get into certain parts of Acts there, in one part of Acts, Paul is preaching, going on and on and on and on, and Eutychus, a young man, falls out of the window.
Yeah.
Not just falls, owie, splat, dead, toe tag time, dead. And Paul, you'll see it, gets down out of that and goes, oh man, the anointing was so strong, man, it ruined the anointing. He doesn't do that. He gets down there, and he goes through the thing and raises him up from the dead. Can you imagine how fired up he'd be? He'd be listening. He wouldn't be falling out of no windows after that, man. Got back in there, and it said he preached on until morning and finished it all going on. And it doesn't say any of the other people said, can you please land this sucker, man? You're killing people. They're falling out of windows. Now, I tell you what. We talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. That was a major work in me to give me that kind of patience, okay? Because God only knows other people had to have patience with me, you know. Okay, let me see how this, all those kind of tweaky things. Not even talking about in the dark side. A mouth that just never shut up. Never shut up. Never. Put me down, beat me up, bleeding out my head, laying on the ground. You walking away and say, you know, you and your mother, man, must have come from a strange tree. Come back and finish the job because I'll kill you if you don't. Oh, he would. He'd come back and, you know, a few boots in the teeth and teeth all over the place and get up, spit and say, is that all you got? Anybody know what I'm talking about with that funky, 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 dark little attitude? Steve, I see you back there. Yes, I know you, brother. The thing is that kind of patience is as much a supernatural gift and change of your heart as anything that has to do with all the gifts, too.
Yeah.
It doesn't diminish those, but man, some of those things we think, what's the big thing? If you knew me, man, you would have known what the big thing.
Yeah.
I was supposed to sing at a wedding one time up in Skagit Valley, man, when I had hair down to here and whatever else. I was late, and the mother was really ticked off, and no wonder, because it was going on. She come on, I'm not going to let you, and you have a big old Fu Manchu and everything. So I'm singing it like this, and I knew what was going to happen. Yeah, I went, blew my nose without raising my hand, all the snot hanging out. She went, I walked in and did whatever I wanted is what happened. I'm not bragging about anything, but I'm talking about that's where I got delivered from.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's where I got delivered from to where God brought me to.
Yeah.
Paul was, because this is the guy that was killing Christians.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about a reason to hate somebody, man. The Christians have put the word out there about Saul of Tarsus and everything else. Woo, man. So we got what? You can be saying the right thing like the girl, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it is for the right endings. Paul's patience displayed itself. And then secondly, Paul did not attack the girl, did he? Paul attacked the spirit. You, the word says you have authority over demonic entities, okay? Now, here's the deal. Don't go to somebody and say, give me a word as to how I can do that. Don't do that. Because, see, there are the seven sons of Sceva that are mentioned in the Word of God who said, hey, we can cast out demons because we can just use Paul's name. So they went to some dude that was filled with demons all over the place, and the seven sons of Sceva that were sons of priests said, in the name of Jesus that Paul serves, come out. That won't work. Why would I say in the name of Jesus who my pastor, senior pastor, Pastor Matt, sir, it better be the Jesus that I serve and that I have my relationship with. You don't get a vicarious anointing to be able to break the yoke on anybody. If you don't have that fully confirmed that I have that authority in Jesus' name, not because of who I am, but because of who I belong to. Amen. And the promises. If you don't have anything else, go to Psalm 91 and read that through about 1,000 times. You have authority to be able to stomp upon the serpent's head, stomp upon scorpions, speak and command them to stand aside, speak and freeze any action that a demon might want to make. But you better get your homework done on this thing. And don't go into the deep end of the pool, man, unless you got somebody going to teach you what to do with that thing. Because the seven sons of Sceva lived, but they got the snot beat out of them and stripped naked. That would have been embarrassing, wouldn't it? We're out there, yeah, we have authority over you. Wop, 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 strip the clothes off, running off naked, say, that didn't work out well, did it? No. Because you got to have the Jesus that you serve. Not the Jesus that I serve. It's the same one, but you got to have that personal experience. If you get over here then, the power, we're talking about what? The patience, the discerning, and the power, okay? And here's the power, if we're going to win it, the power to do what? To cast out demons, okay? Everybody say, cast out demons.
Cast out demons.
That's what Paul displayed. But also, Paul keeps his mouth closed in the most intensely abusive situations.
Yeah.
You think that takes some kind of supernatural power to be able to do that? Oh, yes. This is the man they just killed for grins. He had the high priest that had given him a thing. Don't just kill the Christians. Kill their wives, kill their kids, kill their goats. Wipe them off the face of the earth, man. And here we've got power to keep his mouth closed under heavy, heavy abuse and beatings. The power to take a beating, it doesn't say he griped or anything else. And that's the trouble with a lot of these movies. When you see them in Hollywood and stuff, they'll show Paul, grind him. It would have said something. When Jesus had said he was beaten without a word, a lamb that without a word, that is a supernatural event. You beat me with blood coming out, and I think I'm still going to squeak a little bit, man. It won't be the four-letter words, but I think I'm going to squeak a little bit, to say the least, okay? And you got in here, you had the power to keep his mouth closed, take the beating, and power to be thrown into prison into the nastiest circumstances. And next week, the most crazy response to that beautiful response, and I won't tell you what it is. You're gonna have to read ahead. Okay. Acts chapter 16, verse 19 through 24. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men being Jews exceedingly trouble the city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison and commanded the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fasten their feet in the stocks. What is and is about to distinguish Paul and Silas is an intense display of the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
Not all of us budding charismatics or well-established charismatics, whatever else, who have by God's grace moved in the gift and continue moving the gifts and stuff, but this phenomenal display of the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Ain't no human does this thing on a human level.
That's right.
It's not humanly possible to do what he did in Lystra, not humanly possible to do what's being done here in Philippi. And in John 12:24, it says what? Most assuredly, I say to you, John writes, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. One verse. Sounds so simple, right? Really. You know, people that say, well, I don't know why people think you need to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. Aside from the gifts and being able to pray in His perfect will as far as in the tongues that God gives, I would suggest that might be a good reason right there.
Amen.
I don't know how you could do anything like this as far as dying to yourself in the most abusive situations where you're being bum-beefed on every side. People are just jacking you around on every side. And you display not just shut your mouth and tremble like, oh, I wish I wasn't a Christian. I'd like to just decapitate that sucker right now, okay? But the calmness and the beauty of God at that moment. Matthew 7, verse 18 through 20 tells us too. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, our fruits, the world will know who we are. Not by our gifts, not by all the other stuff, by our fruits. Our fruits basically are on Front Street more than anything else. Because when you're walking through a store or anything else, or you're walking around or anything else, when you think, hey, nobody watching, whatever else, and you're not trying to go off the chain or anything like that, but you don't figure, well, I could just relax and stuff like that. No, that's where your fruit is going to be on display the most, because somebody, sure enough, is going to see you. And that's all they need to finally decide. And it shouldn't be that way, but it will. That's all they're going to need to decide. See, that's a phony. He's phony as a $3 bill, man.
Yes.
Should it be that way? No, but that is the way it goes down, man.
Yeah.
If you're not the same person 24/7, man, you need to press into God and get this thing right. That's what Paul and Silas did. There's no excuse. Road rage? What is that? Come on, man. He got thrown in prison. Well, I had a bad day because somebody was driving too slow. Seriously, man. We'll get thrown in prison with your head beat and, you know, stoned to death. And then, yeah, maybe you got a little reason to have a little attitude and stuff. Road rage? Yeah. Impatient?
Yeah.
People that won't move through the line in the grocery store fast enough, that bring all those things up there with a million coupons. Okay, here they are. Hey, early on in my life, coupons to me are anathema. I don't even want to hear the word coupon, so I don't bring them in there. But I've learned to be patient. I've learned to quit straightening out the pictures. I learned to try to quit orchestrating everybody else's life so they might see somebody that can stay at peace even in the stupidest of circumstances. Can you say amen?
Amen.
There's something here for each one of us, is that right? In this world? Because here's the part, we can have all the other stuff set up as how to reach out, as far as make phone calls, get names of people that are here and everything else, but eventually they're going to want to see, who are you 24/7? Who are you when people just don't treat you right? Who are you when somebody in here just walks up and doesn't say the right nicest thing to you? Who are you when whatever? That's what they're going to take notes on. Now, should they or shouldn't they? That's not the point. That's what they're going to do. Because until they're born again or fully dedicated, the devil's whispering in their ear looking for any reason to keep them from getting grounded in Jesus Christ. And you may be the only anchor they will ever validate at any given moment, you and I. It says right here that we're the anchor. I mean, we can be that anchor. And you have to realize it's the times where nobody, you don't even think they're looking, that they're looking. I mean, wouldn't you know it, man? You didn't catch me when I was going to Hollywood and doing all the right things, man. You caught me when I'm jacking off and doing all this stuff, jacking my mouth and doing all this weird stuff, man. That's crazy. Just jack my jaw, my neck and everything else, and I'm supposed to go ahead and be a good... That's what they look for.
Yeah.
I was a youth group leader in Bellingham, Washington, Geneva Community Church in 1959. I knew who Jesus was. I taught it. If Jesus came, I would have busted hell wide open. And I'll tell you why. Because in Matthew 7, earlier on, it says in there, and you can read it on your own, it says in there, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter in.
That's right.
Only those that do my will. Do. Everybody say do.
Do.
Only those that do my will. Okay. And then it goes on to say, well, the rest of it, which is what? And then behind that, obviously the person Jesus is making the point will say, I'm flashing my credentials. Didn't I prophesy in your name? Hey, I'm just staying humble about this thing, but didn't I cast out demons, by the way, in your name? Didn't I all the rest of the stuff? Didn't I go ahead and heal up and work miracles and everything else? Or in churches like ours too, not saying it's bad or anything. Aren't I a deacon? All right. Don't I sit around? I stay well after everything, and I clean the church even when it's not my job. When somebody needs somebody to be on duty and they can't do it, don't I always? Those credentials ain't going to make no difference.
Amen.
If they aren't built upon the foundation of a heart who has fruit for Jesus Christ when it is least known by anybody else, that's what permanently sticks to the heart of others. In here in Galatians 5:22, and we'll close it up in 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Against such there is no law means you can't be charged with anything legal when you are doing those things. It's impossible. The only thing that can happen is you can get what Paul got, bum beef by people that are just mad that will make up charges because they can't get charges on you. They can't get you mad. There ain't nothing, man, that used to make me madder than not being able to get somebody mad when I'm mad. You know what I'm talking about? Come on, man, you ain't going to fight. Get out. Whatever. There's two roosters here, and right now you're a chicken laying egg. Get out here and fight with me. I'm a rooster. Crazy stuff. God still expects, let me leave you with this, this fruit, love, joy. That's the joy of the Lord.
Yes.
That's not anything that's attached to anything around you, or how your wife talked to you this morning, or how you didn't talk to her last night the way she wanted, or whatever else goes on, or somebody at work didn't talk to me right. Oh my goodness, how terrible. Well, that's right, I didn't get stoned to death today, so I guess I'm pretty nice.
Yeah.
God still expects this fruit, joy that isn't dependent on what's going on around you, peace, and actually that word peace is much bigger than what we think. It's a wholeness, a completeness about you, all right? It can only happen in Jesus Christ. It can only happen in long-suffering. Everybody say it that way. Long-suffering. That was something that took long-suffering for me to get long-suffering, okay? That wasn't there out of the gate or even for a certain length of time. But in here, God still expects the fruit in each of us. And why? Because I'll tell you what, the fruit of the Spirit right there, those are what are called the immanent attributes of our holy God. There are transcendent attributes and they're immanent. Without getting all weird on the big numbers and everything else, transcendent attributes of our God are what? Omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence. You can strive all you want. You ain't going to get one of those. Okay? All-knowing, all-seeing, and, you know, all-present, and everything else, all-powerful. You ain't going to get one of those. Those are transcendent attributes of our holy God, all right? But the other ones, as far as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, we have that as an example embodied in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God himself come down in the flesh. He had all of that on display right there. The immanent part of what God is, that he gave us an example that you can do it. And here's the part that I get tired of hearing when people say, well, he was God, he had it easy. You need to look in your scripture. It says he was tempted in all manner like we were. Everybody say he was tempted
in all manner
like I ever have been, yet without sin. Because it wouldn't have worked if he wasn't capable of sinning and tempted and yet stood his ground and didn't do it. He wouldn't have been the perfect Lamb of God. Think about that sometime. Well, I can't. With the pornography there is now, trust me, man, there were whores back then. What are you talking about? In fact, you go into the temple of Diana, man, or temple of the others, man, you had vestal virgins and whores up there that would do it for God. Seriously. Back in the dark ages when I was rock and roll king, I thought I was doing it for some god, but it wasn't my god, I'll guarantee you that. The deal is that that's a sick kind of a thing, And yet, what you are expected to do when you get this going, you're invited to be able to let these fruit flourish in you. And just smile quietly and realize, this is the glory of God. Nothing will ever testify to somebody to strike at the deepest part of their heart so much as that glory shining, the Shekinah glory from your face, in the nastiest of times where anybody else would have just said, put it in your ear with a high-speed egg beater. Amen. And you don't have that. You have the joy of the Lord. Yeah. Can you bow your head for a moment, please? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. With your head bowed tonight, if there are any of you that realize there's some tightening up you need to do, recommittal that you need to do, rededication that you need to do. And here's the part that the devil will talk in your head right now and say, man, you want people to think that? I guarantee you those people aren't going to be there on Judgment Day having a vote. There's only one in here you need to be concerned about, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Not me, not Pastor Matt, not anybody else, not Pastor Crystal, not my wife, Pastor Dawn, nobody. But that spirit is in here right now. And God has his arms open wide, the Lord does. He wants to heal you up. He wants to let you know that, yes, you can bow your knee and rededicate and get this thing going again. And let this fruit begin to flourish. Right now, if that's you, with your head bowed, every head bowed, every eye closed, would you come on down to the altar if that's it? We're going to pray for you. If you come on down to the altar, if that's it, please tonight, come on down, come on down, come on down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's it, brother. All right, brother. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on down here, brother. God loves you. Yes. Here comes Billy the Blessed up here to get you, man. Thank you, Jesus. I see your sister. Come on. Keep your eyes closed. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else right now? Lord God, we thank you right now that the chain breaker of chain breakers, the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of the living God is moving in here right now, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that the weight of your glory is ebbing and flowing up and down through the aisles here right now and across this altar right now, breaking off every chain in George, breaking off every chain in our sister here right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. If there's anyone else in here, you need to get up. Don't let the devil have his way. Don't let him keep you pinned, man. If it's time to get up and get down here, get up and get down here and get the chain broke off in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, the rest of us, Lord, I would ask, Lord, that whatever word went forth, Lord, and wrote upon our heart, Lord, let it not be forgotten of. Let it be written upon our heart and cause us to think about those things deeply and meditate upon that word tonight, Lord, as we sleep, Lord. Take us into your heavenly heavenlies, Lord, and write it even deeper than it was before so that it would have legs to it, Lord. It would affect the way we think, the way we do, the way we move, the way our countenance is, the way our entire being is, Lord, that before we open our mouth, people would know there's a light about us that they haven't seen anywhere else. With this anointing, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can get that through your promises, that they're yes and amen. You're not a respecter of persons. You excel in taking people that are the most broken with the worst testimonies in the entire universe and sweeping them aside and allowing your glory to rise up. In Jesus' name, if you believe that, say amen. Amen. Say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.